From college to the pros, America's pastime in full force, 24/7 on the Long Ball with Andrew Brown.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome one and welcome all. Welcome back to the Long Ball with Andrew Brown. I am Andrew Brown, and I am oh so excited to be back at it again with you for another episode. And oh boy, it's going to be an exciting one, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, for those not familiar with this show, it's a show where I take you through the world of collegiate and or professional baseball, but from time to time, I'll dip outside the realm of baseball for other interesting storylines. Right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, I do also want to give a big shout out to everybody who've given their thoughts, their questions to me. I will direct you to please do so now on the show's official Twitter page, at TheLongBall1. I'd love to interact with you there. I'd love to talk with you there. And any other stories I'd like to bring up, I will definitely bring up there as well. Also, you can catch this show on many different platforms like Google Podcasts, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and many more. So please go ahead and search me on those platforms and many others. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for spreading the word. Please continue to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be an episode primarily revolving around collegiate baseball. On Saturday, April 20th, there was a big, big vote that came down in the world of college baseball. And after the talk about a possible third assistant loomed ever so higher and higher each and every week, the NCAA struck that down. So no third assistant in the ranks of collegiate baseball and softball. In just a few seconds, I'm going to be talking with the one and only Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com to break down really the reasons why, the consequences going forward, and we're also going to be talking about some possible sleeper picks to look out for within the world of college baseball as conference and the NCAA tournament looms ever closer. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, he's the guy you see each and every day on D1Baseball.com, along with Kendall Rogers giving you all you want and need to know, stuff that you didn't know that you wanted and needed to know about college baseball. He keeps you informed. He keeps things exciting. Once again, Aaron Fitt joining the Long Ball. Aaron, thank you so very much for joining the show here today. Let's just jump right into it and talk about the lack of a third assistant for collegiate baseball. Over the course of the past couple weeks, there was a lot of voting going on, and that voting was to whether or not add a third assistant to the likes of collegiate softball and baseball. Now, a lot of coaches seem to be behind this. A lot of the college baseball world seemed to be behind this. Yet when Saturday came and went, the end-all verdict was no. It did not reach the threshold of I believe, 35 that had to be met in order to pass this through, with the big Power 5 conferences earning multiple votes per yes or no answer, and then the non-Power 5 conferences earning one vote per yes or no answer. Ultimately, again, it was a big flat no. That really confused me, though, Aaron, and I know it confused you as well. There's so much confusion as initially we thought it would not just be a yes, but it would be a resounding yes. It has turned no. Take the listeners through, how exactly could that have possibly happened, and what are the consequences we're looking at going forward?
Well, I just think it's a matter of funding, and a lot of these ADs were worried that opening the door, even if you're not forced to pay a third assistant, they had the option to keep that position as a volunteer position or convert it to full-time or part-time or graduate assistant, whatever they wanted to do. But I think a lot of them were worried that just opening the door would lead to, to spending more money in the program. But, it's compared to how much these operating budgets are, what's another, $50,000, $100,000 for a position? Especially in the SEC, some of those big conferences, that's a drop in the bucket. So, I think it's kind of a cop-out to blame softball. Some people have said, well, softball didn't really need another assistant coach. They already have a pretty good ratio of, seven athletes to every one full-time assistant, or full-time coach, I should say, whereas baseball is 12-1. But we have no way of knowing if this proposal would have even gotten this far if you had taken softball out. I have a feeling it wouldn't have. Softball was included because we thought the gender equity component would be a good thing for this proposal, and I think ADs were just looking for a reason to vote no, and it's a shame, really. I think it's hard to defend.
Once again, everybody, Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com joining me to talk about the discussion as to why the NCAA decided not to add a third assistant for collegiate baseball and softball. There was a number to reach. There's a threshold that had to be reached in terms of votes per conference. The Power 5 conferences had 5 votes per yes or no, and the rest of the NCAA had 1 vote per conference. Ultimately, the votes came out in a no tally, and we're talking all about that now. One of the things here, Aaron, that amongst the roller coaster of a ride that this has been, initially you had in January the Big Ten say, no, we're not going to vote yes on it. That wasn't official, but then you had the Big 12 as of late say, no, that they're definitely not voting. And then the Big 10 came out and said, no, we're not voting yes either. But then you had all these smaller schools say, yes, let's vote yes on it. And then it was kind of down to the ACC almost. Where, you know, you had the SEC definitely in favor of it, but the ACC was kind of a flip-flop, and it was really down to Wake Forest as to the deciding factor. And initial reports said that they were a no. The AD came out and later said, yes, we're voting yes. So that shifted things quite dramatically. And at that point here, Aaron, I felt like, hey, despite the roller coaster, we're finally going to get to that yes vote we were expecting. At that point, when you saw that breaking news by Kendall Rogers, when their AD said, yes, we're in, did you have similar feelings? Did you feel like this could actually get passed?
Yeah, I think that was, at that point, you thought if the ACC is on board, you know, it's going to be close, but we certainly thought that it had a chance. The Big Ten and the Big 12 voting no is what killed this thing. I think we haven't seen the final vote tally yet, but I think if either one of those conferences voted yes, it probably would have passed. And that's really demoralizing, considering the athletic revenues that those two conferences generate, and especially since they both claim to be invested in baseball, and they spend a lot of money on their facilities, and certainly the Big Ten has to spend a lot on their travel budget in baseball. I mean, they spend money on baseball, and this is something that would really have advanced the game, and I just can't understand why they would vote no on it. I mean, again, I think another part of it is maybe some of these ADs just didn't want to have to face the coaches and other athletic programs in their departments asking for other positions. But I think, grow up and be the grown up in the room and just explain to those coaches, hey, baseball had a 12-1 coach to athlete ratio. It's the worst of any sport. I mean, they needed it. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more leadership here from the ADs.
Talking collegiate baseball with Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com, and we're diving more specifically into the reason why collegiate baseball as a whole voted no for a third assistant. And Aaron, you wrote a great piece on this, really diving into the implications of this no vote. And for those of you who don't know, right now what would have been that third assistant is it's still a third assistant, but he's a volunteer coach. And right now that volunteer coach does not get paid. But you brought up, Aaron, that they don't have to necessarily pay this third assistant, even if this vote turned out to be a yes. He didn't need to get paid, but the responsibilities, what this volunteer coach could do, would have expanded with this yes vote. Take the listeners through what would have been the biggest highlight or one of the biggest highlights in your eyes that would have come from a yes vote regarding that third assistant.
Yeah, you kind of hit on it. I think this proposal would have allowed that third assistant coach to get out on the road recruiting. You know, even if you kept him as a volunteer, he would have been allowed to recruit. And so that would have spread out the recruiting burden a little bit. It would have kept the other coaches on campus a little bit more in the fall to instruct the players that are already there, rather than having those guys out recruiting all September while you're trying to do fall ball stuff. And it would have helped the third coach, the current volunteer coach, develop. Right now it's hard for those guys to move up in the coaching ranks because they don't have any recruiting experience. And how do you get recruiting experience if you're not allowed to recruit? So it's a catch-22 for those guys. And that's the thing is, these guys work really hard. It's volunteers right now. Even though they're not recruiting, they're doing a lot of work. I mean, as much work as the rest of the staff on campus with the team. I mean, they're crucial parts of the staff, and they only get paid through kind of camp revenue that they can make in the summer. And for most programs, that's not very much. And a lot of these guys are working two or three jobs. I mean, I've heard story after story of guy working a graveyard shift as a supermarket manager, and then getting up and getting, you know, gets 2 or 3 hours of sleep and goes to give private lessons, and he has to go out to practice. I mean, that's a tough life, and nobody's forcing these guys to have that life.
So, Aaron, with this being such a important topic, a dynamic topic across baseball, what's the timetable that we may be able to address this again?
Well, it sounds like we have to wait 2 years to try again. You know, that's the NCAA, I think the legislative rule is you can't bring it up again for 2 years. And so I imagine that, you know, we're going to try to come up with some new proposal, probably without softball, see if that does any better. But who knows at this point what the best way to go about it is. I mean, somehow college baseball coaches need to find a way to get through to their ADs and to get ADs excited about baseball. And, you know, we kind of need to have a soul-searching moment here as an industry and kind of figure out how to proceed. I mean, it's time to regroup right now and re-strategize, because I thought the proposal that was on the table was great. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was a nice compromise solution, and it, you know, 95% of the coaches, I think, well, 93%, and then the latest ABCA poll supported it. I mean, this thing was almost unanimous in the coaching ranks, and coaches really got on board rallying behind it in a way I'd never seen before, and it still failed, you know. So now what? I mean, it's really kind of start from scratch.
Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com joining the show here on The Long Ball as we got done talking about the no vote for a possible third assistant in collegiate baseball. Now we move on to a little bit of a lighter topic here, Aaron. Is you every quarter, halfway point, three-quarter mark, bring up teams to look out for, surprise teams within the college baseball landscape. You know, there'll always be some out there, like the Stensons of the world, the Tennessee Techs of the world. Teams that will definitely put a big surprise mark in the overall landscape. This year, no different. You have different variations. But in terms of a couple teams to look out for and really underdogs that could very well make the tournament, who should we, even as casual collegiate baseball fans, be looking out for?
Well, I'm going to give you a Big Ten team first, because people, you know, don't typically think of the Big Ten as a power baseball conference. It's a good baseball conference, but it's only had one team in Omaha in the last 35 years. So Indiana is a team to watch. You know, I think right now they're 27-13 overall. I think they're a good veteran, balanced club, quality starting pitching with Pauly Wilco and Andrew Salfrank. It's some nice pieces in the bullpen, and they got some power in the lineup. You know, Matt Lloyd, Matt Gorski, really good players who've been around for a few years and produced, and they're hot right now. And I think for me, that's a team that can win a regional and maybe make a run at Omaha. So Indiana comes to mind. And if you're looking for more of a mid-major, keep an eye on Bryant. I'm going to throw Bryant out there. This program is kind of the class of the Northeast Conference year after year. They've been in quite a few regionals over the last decade. And once again, they have a very talented club. They're 28-12. They're doing their usual thing in the conference, but you know, they got some real impact bats there. Ryan Ward, in particular, one of the toughest outs in the country year after year now for 3 years, and Jimmy Titus, you know, at shortstop has been a real key for them as well. Just a quality player across the board. Their lineup is very, very dangerous. I think they're very offensive, and they probably have enough on the mound too to make some noise in a regional. So keep an eye on the Bryant Bulldogs.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Long Ball with Andrew Brown. Thanks for liking the show and sharing the show. Please continue to do so on Twitter at TheLongBall1. And that's a place where you can also catch more content coming on up, including articles, different interviews, also poll questions. So please go ahead, like the page, like it, share it, do whatever you want, and give questions and thoughts. I'd love to hear more of those and see more of those on Twitter. So please go ahead to the Twitter page again at TheLongBall1. That's at TheLongBall1. Right now, for your enjoyment, ladies and gentlemen, we have the one and only Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com joining us, talking about the collegiate baseball landscape. We just got done talking about the lack of a third assistant now for collegiate baseball and the impacts of that. And now we're diving into some teams to look out for. And one of the teams consistently, Aaron, that I have liked and been pretty heavy on in the early part of the season and then just let me down late has been NC State. Last year, they ranked as high as fourth in the country and ended up kind of really fizzling out there in the regionals of the NCAA tournament last year. And then you take a look at this year, they were ranked in the top 10 yet again, and somehow they have managed to dive all the way to 20th in the country with an RPI of 27. Ultimately, I still see them as an NCAA tournament team right now, but man, this seems like the same song and dance. They do well early in the season, they fade late. I'm sure many other NC State fans across the country are even more aggravated than I am at this point. Ultimately, they're a team that can put it together. They've shown spurts throughout this season alone that they can hang with the top teams. But in your eyes here, Aaron, is this the same song and dance we're going to be seeing that we've seen the last few years, or is there a change coming for NC State?
Well, they started out 19-0, and I thought, you know, I thought they were a good club, but I thought they were probably playing a little bit over their heads at that point. I mean, they won some games in crazy fashion, some comeback wins, and a lot of tight games, and that stuff can just even out a little bit as the season progresses. I think they're playing, you know, they're in a funk right now, obviously. I mean, they've had a couple of really bad weeks, and they've got some injury stuff going on. A couple of their key pieces on the mound aren't 100%, and their two best guys are banged up, Will Wilson at shortstop, and Patrick Bailey behind the plate. But those are elite players at premium positions, and when they're healthy and going good, boy, NC State's offense is tough to shut down. I mean, that's what really stands out about them is their offense. It's a really good approach. It's deep. It's got power. It's got athleticism. But I've worried all along that maybe they were a little bit light on the mound, and I think that might be catching up with them a little bit right now. So they're still in good shape. They're 31-10, but they're in a funk right now, and they're just trying to weather a little bit of a rough patch. So whether they're capable of making a deep run, I mean, they're capable if they're hot at the right time, but I've never been in love with their pitching this year, so for me, they don't really feel like an Omaha team.
Speaking about a bit of a funk now, let's move on to the ouch list, in which Aaron of D1Baseball.com and many others combine to write a list of teams that are not doing very well in the last couple weeks. And some surprising names have been on there. You know, the last couple weeks we've seen Mississippi State on that list, and you know, Hale State's had some good players. In fact, maybe the best player in the country on their roster. Yet they're not doing so hot. Then you have Clemson, who went on a 7-game losing skid. Not to mention college baseball's darling Cinderella story, Coastal Carolina, the 2016 champion. They've recently gone on a 1-5 skid. So with that, let me ask you this question here, Aaron. Between the likes of Clemson and Coastal Carolina, which of those two teams do you feel has the best or more likely scenario to get out of their funk and make a deeper run here in the postseason?
Well, yeah, I just saw Clemson on Sunday against Duke, and you know, they look kind of lifeless for a while there. And honestly, like, it's a team that we viewed as a back-end top 25 team heading into the year. And then they lost their ace to Tommy John surgery before the season even started, which kind of made me lower my expectations for Clemson. I think they just, like NC State, I think they just don't have enough firepower on the mound. I mean, the bullpen's okay, but the rotation is lacking, and the lineup is not what it was last year. It just does not have the same kind of firepower. So for me, I think Clemson's very ordinary. I think Coastal Carolina still has upside, but I can't figure out what's going on with those guys right now. I mean, they're really struggling now for 2 or 3 weeks, close to a month now, of playing not very good baseball. And I saw those guys early, and I thought they looked very dangerous. I mean, it's a very good offense in particular. They're very athletic. They can defend, and they're just not playing well right now. So I feel like Gary Gilmore, their head coach, usually finds a way to figure it out. They tend to play better late, year after year, than they do, you know, in that middle stretch. They've had patches like this before. Even the year they won it all, they had a patch like this where they had really struggled, and Gary was kind of distraught. And then all of a sudden, the light just kind of flicked on, and they want to win it all. And so I don't think they're going to win it all. I don't think they have the kind of pitching to do that. But I do think that they can snap out of this funk and still make some noise and maybe make a splash in the postseason.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to The Long Ball with Andrew Brown. Thanks for joining in, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you've had a good and fun time listening to this episode. A little bit shorter than most, but then again, I think it's even more impactful. Once again, we've been talking about the likes of the third assistant conversation dropped as a possibility by the NCAA. And then we've moved on to some teams to look out for, some teams on the ouch list. And of course, we're talking more with Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball. And now, Aaron, let me go ahead and finish you off with this question here. You know, there's tons of storylines each and every season, and you, along with Kendall Rogers and everyone else at D1 Baseball, do a phenomenal job at really bringing in the true storylines to look out for and making a lot of people feel like insiders. So with that in mind here, as we head towards the home stretch and get ready for postseason play, what are the storylines that we as fans of all different degree types should be looking out for before we hit the postseason?
Well, I think, you know, there's a couple of long streaks to keep an eye on. I mean, Florida State now, this is Mike Martin's final season, of course. He's been in a regional and won 40-plus games in each of his first 39 years there. And right now, they're kind of scrapping and clawing to get back in. I mean, their RPI is in the 60s, which is not where you want to be for an at-large spot. They played better the last 2 weeks. They kind of rallied. But we'll see if they can get back on track and maybe make a run in the postseason in Mike Martin's swan song. Certainly, he's one of the all-time class gentlemen in the history of this game, and I think a lot of people want to see him finish strong. And then Cal State Fullerton, too. I mean, that's another team, a perennial power. They've been in, I think, 27 straight regionals now. That's the second longest streak in the country behind Florida State. And they're really struggling right now. I don't know what to expect because, you know, usually they make a run this time of year, but right now they're scuffling bad. And it's kind of do or die time for them. So that would be a big story if Fullerton missed the postseason as well. So that's one thing to watch down the stretch is whether Fullerton and Florida State can rally.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com giving you thoughts on storylines, individuals, teams, coaches, and so much more to look out for. We've had a great discussion here this episode about the third assistant, that not falling through, also teams to look out for, teams on the rise and teams on the fall. Aaron, it's a pleasure to talk with you. It's a pleasure just to get to speak with you. It's always great reading your works, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
All right, Andrew, thanks for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, Aaron. Thank you so very much for coming on. Once again, everybody, Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com, bringing us just a short conversation on what to expect, teams to expect, and storylines to follow. Catch him on Twitter at Aaron Fitt. Also, catch his work on D1Baseball.com. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to say sayonara and farewell for this episode of The Long Ball. A big thank you to Aaron Fitt of D1Baseball.com. And a big thanks to you, everybody. Thank you so very much for listening into the show, for sharing the show. Please continue to do so. Share it to your friends. Share it to everybody, especially baseball fans. Because you know what? We have a whole lot of fun with a lot of great discussion, a lot of great baseball discussion at that. So please go ahead, like, share, and spread the word around. It's always fun. It's always a great time. And I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I did. With that, ladies and gentlemen, that will officially be the sayonara bell for me. Make sure to tune in later this week as another episode comes your way. I will have Wayne McDonald Jr. of Forbes Sports Money, Forbes.com on to talk about the state of the Yankees, the state of the Marlins, and what are the biggest storylines surrounding baseball in the early going of the Major League Baseball season. That's all coming up for you next week, but as for now, as they say in the showbiz world, until next time, stay safe.